Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 20th. Do you listen to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation? You can hear it overnights here on the Ideas Network from about 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. during the week, and maybe you catch some of the BBC TV stuff on public television. I know a lot of you respect the reporting that you hear on the BBC, so we thought you would be interested in discussing a recently released report on the impartiality of the BBC. This report was conducted by the BBC, and it has been widely reported as to have reached the conclusion that the BBC is liberally biased. However, the BBC itself is now disputing that interpretation. The report doesn't reach that conclusion, according to the BBC Trust member who chaired the team overseeing the report. Richard Tate says, "It doesn't say the BBC has a liberal bias. It says the BBC will have to work even harder to maintain the trust of the audience in the future." But the report does quote some former BBC editors who think there is a liberal bias in the organization, like former political editor Andrew Marr, who said the BBC is a publicly funded urban organization with an abnormally large proportion of younger people, people in ethnic minorities, and almost certainly of gay people, compared with the population at large. And Marr said this creates an innate liberal bias inside the BBC. So we're going to talk about whether you think the BBC is impartial or not, and the larger issue of whether public broadcasting is impartial or not, whether or not that is important to be impartial, and what the BBC says it will do now to maintain its impartiality. The report issued 12 guiding principles that we will discuss with you and with our regular media watcher and talker, Dave Berkman. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dave Berkman is the former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk. He is a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Morning.
How's everything?
Very well, and I have to say that I agree with one of those conclusions. I think the problem at the BBC is they're not hiring enough straight white guys.
Well, I'm a little confused. Did this BBC report say it was liberally biased or
Absolutely
not?
Absolutely not. What happened was a few choice quotes in this 80 pages of turgid prose were leaked to a bunch of right-wing bloggers, and they had a monopoly in the 3 or 4 days until the report was released. Listen, I have to begin with a disclaimer here. The report applies to the BEEB as a whole. But, you know, for me personally, and I suspect virtually all of those listening, our familiarity with it is limited to one part, which is the World Service, and maybe the fluffy BBC America, which is a 60% limey version of Home and Garden TV. Mm-hmm. In other words, a lot of the report's 80 pages have, in terms of their specifics, very little meaning to us Americans. It is, however, mainly concerned with the guiding principles for BBC journalism, and these should apply, obviously, across the board, both domestically and to its international broadcast activities. The major focus, which was commissioned, and the report was commissioned by the BBC's governing board, is summed up in its subtitle, which is Safeguarding Impartiality in the 21st Century, which you might term an exhortation of what I, in turn, would term the journalistic equivalent of to state it with appropriate Britishisms, mummyhood and figgy pudding.
Now, so why did the BBC undertake this report to begin with?
Because you have a community of right-wing folks over there, just like here, who get upset every time something they disagree with something, and that's further enhanced by Tony Blair, who, for the first half of his governance, exploited the press in every way, with a carefully public relations tailored presentations, and then got upset when they disagreed with him over the war.
Mm. Yeah, there was the report also did find fault with, I think it was more of a comedy program, right, that took on this campaign.
Yeah, and again, that's why I said I have to open with a disclaimer. Mm-hmm. A lot of that really can't be commented on by anybody living outside the UK.
Except in that it would just, for the listeners' benefit, there was some campaign on Make Poverty History that some comedy program took up this cause and other entertainment programs that we haven't seen. But it was, I guess, the BBC perhaps looking as though it was advocating for something.
It spent six pages on a Bob Geldof, I think Bono was also involved, Bono, rather, was also involved, a concert which was protesting poverty around the world. Now, the authors of the report claimed that the BBC got a little too involved in supporting the cause. And I want to tell you, if the worst you can come up with is that that a news organization comes down against exploiting poor folks, you know, more power to them.
I'm not sure what the other side of poverty. You know,
I'm not sure either. Mm-hmm. But really, the prose in this report was pretty turgid. But those six pages that dealt with that were beyond belief. Let me just briefly talk about a couple of specifics here. You have this exhortation, is what I say. Of promoting impartiality, and it speaks mainly to the need for a continuation of the corporation's traditional impartiality. And I think it's important to remember that, as far as the World Service is concerned, international polls consistently show it is the world's most trusted news medium. But when the report proclaims this, it also displays a bit of discomfiture. And I think this is summed up in a number of very short, seemingly contradictory quotations as to what impartiality is. At one point, it insists that a hallmark of impartiality is neutrality, which it defines as, quote, the absence of a point of view, unquote. But it also states that impartiality still, quote, allows for... Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got a lot of construction work going on in your...
Door. Yeah, there's a waste management trunk going by. As I say, it insists that... where did I leave off here? But it also states that impartiality still, quote, allows for fair-minded, evidence-based judgments, unquote, which to me sounds like a point of view. And then it further goes on to assert as a specific example of what would be permissible in doing this, that it is, quote, within the competence of a senior BBC correspondent in Baghdad to pronounce the military operation of Iraq lost or won, provided this judgment is based on evidence, unquote. In other words, it's 80 pages of contradiction, of discomfort, and really the report doesn't say very much. I have to say, after plowing through it late last night, I was notably unimpressed with its substance.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about briefly about the issuing of these 12 guidelines to maintain impartiality. Anything strike you with that?
No. And I'm not sure there are even 12 there. It seems to me a lot of them were just restatements of other ones.
Yeah, it does say that the audience wants the BBC to be impartial. Do you think so?
Well, you know, that's a motherhood question. What do you mean by impartiality? It means that you do. Does it mean coming to the conclusion I agree with? For many people, it does. You know, what would you expect somebody to answer when they ask, do you believe that the media that you consume should be impartial? Well, duh, of course I do.
We are talking with Dave Berkman about a report that was issued by the BBC about the BBC and its impartiality. Initial reports led us to believe that the BBC was admitting to being liberally biased, but the BBC is saying, no, we're not saying that we are liberally biased, but that we have to work even harder to maintain the trust of the audience in the future. We welcome your thoughts and questions about, I guess, since the BBC bias or media bias in general, as we talk with Dave Berkman, who is former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon. Between 4 and 6, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, her formative years, her triumphs and tribulations in the White House, her own political career, and her aspirations of becoming president. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking with Dave Berkman, who is our regular media commentator, talking about the BBC and its report that looks at its own impartiality. A lot of media outlets were reporting over the past few days that the report had concluded that it is, the BBC is, liberally biased. But now the BBC is disputing that interpretation. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you'd like to join in with a question or a thought about the BBC and whether or not it's impartial or not, or whether or not you want it to be impartial or not. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And maybe we can expand this a little bit to talk about the larger issue of media bias in general, or whether public broadcasting needs to be impartial or not. We will continue talking with Dave Berkman and taking your calls and your emails. I do have an email from Simon in Wisconsin Rapids, Dave, who says, I worked for the BBC since 1978, and I am always amused by the BBC being accused of being either biased to the right or the left. It seems whatever political party is in control of the government, they think the BBC is biased against them. This recent report is a little different. It seems the BBC itself thinks it has a liberal bias, but the BBC should be proud of its impartial reporting and program making. You want to comment on what political party is?
Yeah, again, I think they made a mistake in not releasing the report immediately after those first weeks surfaced on right-wing blog sites and in editorials and more conservative papers like The Telegraph, because that's what's gotten out there. And I will tell you, having stayed up until 3:30 this morning reading this darn thing, that it does not state that. Look, at one point it does say that most of the people who work there, majority of the people who work there, tend to be liberal. That's true here, 80%. How many times have you heard that quote, 80% voted for George McGovern, and that carries through to every election? But the issue is not what journalists personally believe, but how they cover the news and individual stories. And because one happens, well, you know, we also don't ask the question, how come those whose profession is paying close attention to what goes on in the realm of public affairs, why did so many of them tend to be liberal? I mean, that in itself is a statement that we ought to question, and it may be that because what they're seeing more or less proves that a liberal to left perspective is objectively correct. Now, nobody ever wants to say that, but I will.
Say it again?
Why do 80% of journalists vote Democratic? Some 70-some percent identify themselves as progressive or liberal. And the question we never ask is, hey, these are the people whose full-time professional job is to observe what's going on in the realm of public affairs. Why do they conclude that the liberal left perspective is correct? These seem to be very knowledgeable people. Maybe we should wonder why that's so.
Katie in La Crosse is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
My biggest thing is that the idea that newscasters can be completely impartial is bogus. You can't be completely impartial because your experiences, your thoughts, your beliefs will affect how you present things. The issue is more whether or not you acknowledge that that happens. And whether or not that does, which we all know it does to some degree, shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't ridicule people for believing something. The question is whether or not they have reasons for it, and that we should be told the reasons for it. I'm much more likely to respect someone who disagrees with me if they know why they disagree with me than someone who agrees with me but doesn't know why.
Yeah, Katie, what are you getting? Do you think that, are you saying that reporters maybe should just be upfront about their political viewpoints on things?
I think that that definitely wouldn't hurt anything for people to be upfront about what they believe. But instead of worrying about, I think the obsession with, oh, we're impartial, oh, we're not, no one admits to being partial. But instead of worrying about it, I think we should just kind of let it be and acknowledge that it isn't.
Yeah, doesn't the BBC, though, in this report, Dave, also talk about that legally the BBC has to be impartial? It can't just say, yeah.
Yeah, but then you get to the question of defining it. Again, it's a motherhood thing. The BBC charter is not going to say you have a right to be impartial. So it's rhetoric. Look, you wouldn't want a situation in which every newscast you turn on, so you say, "Hi, I'm Jim Jones, and I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative." No, we would not tolerate that. But the idea, look. The problem, and we've discussed this here a number of times, and I certainly did it when I was doing my show on WPR, the fallacious idea that impartiality or balance is giving those who speak truth, those who lie, equal time and credence, and leaving it at that is good journalism. Now, you're obligated, certainly, to give all sides the opportunity to speak, and I mean whether they be Holocaust deniers, defenders of going to war with Iraq, the deniers of evolution or those who contend the evidence of global warming, doesn't add up. But if you take the latter, if you don't point out in interviewing someone with that position that he or she stands in opposition to what over 98% of climatologists agree is the overwhelming scientific evidence which shows global warming is man-made, then you've not done your job as a journalist, because the foremost obligation of a journalist is to ascertain and report the truth. It is not to constantly display fear that somebody will say, "Hey, you're biased." Mm.
Thank you, Katie. Paul in Monona is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Well, Dave, you pretty much just made my point, I guess, that I was going to ask you, and maybe I could just ask a follow-up to your point then, because I often get frustrated when people say we're not going to be impartial by showing you both sides to an issue that I don't have expertise on. So what often happens is there's a person from some think tank that's funded to, fight this, whatever kind of things like a gas, mileage, increases or something like that have a particular political backing and agenda.
Journalism has been particularly remiss in reporting stories, quoting various institutes, think tanks, which say global warming isn't real, and never identifying that it's the oil companies that provide most of the revenue for these outfits. You're absolutely right.
So to me, it seems like a well-crafted public relations sucker ball to even get us talking instead of talking, does our particular radio station or does this particular organization really do a good job at getting at the truth. Rather, we're talking about how many gay people they have on staff, or what their did they have a congressman who was liberal and a congressman who was conservative talk about the issue. You're in danger of garbage in, garbage out with that.
It's what I call Jim Lair journalism.
Right. So is there you know, it seems like we are, you know, acquiescing in some, in lots of instances, to have, you know, talk shows with fighting it out on both sides type of issues, and that people are doing that actually more and more rather than less and less. And I was wondering, is there anything, you know, people can do to say, well, I think people trust the BBC because they think they get closer to the truth. And I think if we really, you know, had that out there, that I think people would say, I want to trust my media organization because I think they do a good job at getting people who actually know the issues and get me closer to the truth.
Yeah, but I think it is also important to have more of that two sides contentiously debating each other. But again, do not imply that the liar and the truth teller are both entitled to equal credence. That is an absurdity. And yet I hear that all too often. Look, supposedly the exemplar of American journalistic integrity, I made allusion to this earlier, is the Lair NewsHour. It isn't. It is a program that goes out, aside from the fact that numerous studies have showed, it basically presents nothing but establishmentarian opinion. It goes out of its way. Jim Lair personally boasts that he never votes because that would show he's taking sides. So he lets the liars and he lets the truth tellers, when he lets the truth tellers on because of the bias in who is booked, debate it and never says, wait a minute, doesn't the evidence show such and such to one of the two contenders? And we tend to say, my God, that's great journalism. It isn't. It simply gives the establishment another opportunity to perpetuate its views.
We're talking with Dave Berkman about a report by the BBC about impartiality of the BBC, saying that the BBC needs to work harder in the future to maintain the trust of its audience. And the report also included guidelines to maintain impartiality. Lots of media reports had indicated that this BBC study concluded that the BBC was liberally biased, that the BBC was admitting a liberal bias, but that is not the case, according to the full report and according to our guest, Dave Berkman. Lance in Antioch is with us now. Hi, Lance, you're on the air.
How you doing? You know, Dave is talking about that bias comes from the individual journalist. Most bias comes from deciding which stories are news. What is the news? And normally that's why we get all this repeat of the same news. That's why all the networks are all the same. They all read the New York Times. They all read the Washington Post. Then they all report on it. Even Fox News falls into the same category of following the leader, and nobody differentiates from it. And you can pick out any stories you want. A classic one is this recent thing with Scooter Libby. Nobody knows that Richard Armitage is the actual guy who leaked the name of Valerie Plame. He's not going to be prosecuted, but Scooter Libby was, even though he was not the leaker. And people don't even know that Sandy Berger, you know, stole documents and lied about it. People don't even know about that story because the choices were made from the New York Times and the Washington Post that the Scooter Libby story was a more important story, which is why it got at least 50,000 more words per day in all the newspapers and all the television stations.
I think a lot of people have heard about Sandy Berger, but
Sandy Berger thing was widely reported.
But go ahead,
may
Dave.
I continue? The Sandy Berger thing was widely reported. Scooter Libby was not indicted for revealing the identity of Valerie Plame. He was indicted for lying about the affair to a grand jury. It is true that Richard Armitage was one of three people who apparently leaked her name, but only because he first became aware of it when Karl Rove's operation called over to the State Department to get a confirmation that she was an undercover agent. Basically, you were repeating the party line of the right-wing blogosphere and Fox News. And if I'm not being objective in stating that, so be it.
Well, let's go to the whether we have issues with Lance's examples or not. Your bias can be revealed by the stories you choose to report or not, Dave.
Well, his whole point is they're all reporting the same stories, and there is some truth to that. I keep hearing these overgeneralized arguments about how they all report the same leading stories, and it's often determined by what leads in the morning New York Times, which is true. It becomes the lead story in the New York Times because it's important, and it leads off the three nightly newscasts because they're the lead story on the nightly newscast, where they have about 22 minutes to report the news, and only about 8 to 10 of that to report important news, because the rest is all lifestyle and fluff and feel-good stuff. The important news, journalistic minds will probably agree that this story today is the most important.
Yeah. Well, does it, though, really reflect on an organization like, for example, Wisconsin Public Radio? Let's say we decide that we will do a talk show on the Madison City Council and the Dane County Board of Supervisors taking up resolutions to encourage the impeachment of the president. Does that mean by the fact that we do a discussion on this issue that we're advocating for that issue?
No. Because you're also going to present people who are going to present the argument that that is a federal matter. It should not be the concern of a more local jurisdiction. You're going to have people who say, but wait a minute, this is something the citizenry should have a chance to register its voice on. And you're going to have both of those conflicting point of views fully spelled out.
Yeah. Scott in Green Bay is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I really like the way Dave framed it about not having the necessary to give equal time to the liars and truth tellers. And the problem that I see, though, really is in many instances, the liars or the right is deemed as the liar and the left is deemed as the truth teller in a variety of different areas. You use the example of 98% of all climatologists agree with global warming. I mean, that 98% is really kind of a bantered about number, and I really have a hard time believing in 98% of anything in life, to be honest with
you. There have been studies that have affirmed that in terms of who the climatologists are and stand on each side. And I didn't mention the far more contentious fact that almost all of those in that other 1% to 2% are in some way either in the direct employ or are the recipients of grants and consultancies from the oil companies.
Right, and I hear that a lot, and which is fine. I hear that, but I don't see it. I don't see factual data. A lot of times you'll have...
Google it, you'll find it.
I'm sorry?
Google it, you'll find it.
I have. I've Googled a variety of different things. I've Yahooed a variety of different things, and I still get conflicting information. But I don't want to argue that point.
Yeah.
The point has to do with what's more interesting than anything else. Is I'm wondering psychologically why it is that conservatives see a left-wing bias and liberals definitely don't see a left-wing bias. There's something there that makes me wonder why are there two very different viewpoints as to the way news is covered. A perfect example, I think this is an example, is how things are covered sometimes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
How things are covered. When conservatives talk about religion and politics, it's really kind of a contentious issue. But Jim Wallace can have a faith in politics with the leading Democrats, and that's really covered from a very positive light. It's a great thing that they're talking about. And I'm just using that as an example where you've got a particular issue, religion and politics, and I'm telling you, if the right wing Christian, and I'm just using that rhetorically, if they talk about it, that's really a negative stereo, a negative. But the Democrats can talk about it, and it's quite positive. And I see stories that occur, and they're covered differently depending upon party affiliation.
Democrats are going out of their way now to show they believe in God just as much as the Republicans. And let me say, as somebody who doesn't entertain such a belief, I'm getting a little turned off by it. because the standard party line in American journalism has always been to give credence and respect to those who hold religious belief and not even recognize that admitted minority of us who don't.
Yeah. Scott, thanks for the call. Your cell phone is fuzzing out here and there, but I want to follow up on a point that that he did make, Dave, with why is it that conservatives see this liberal bias or hear this liberal bias in the media, mainstream media, and say it over and over and over again, but the liberals just don't see it or deny that it's there?
Okay, if you go back to William over at the National Standard, Crystal.
Yeah.
William Crystal. William Crystal, about 4 or 5 years ago, claimed credit for starting this whole, which he admitted, fallacious myth that the media are liberally biased. And both the media and liberals, afraid of the term media, simply laid back and played dead, and it took hold in the public consciousness. That's why most people, surveys consistently show that a plurality of people believe that the media are biased. In other words, there are also those who say it isn't biased. There are also those who say it's liberally biased. And the reason is because the Democrats, during their period of semi-comatose behavior, simply let this thing go by and never bothered to contest it.
Yeah. We do hear from people on the left who, while they don't necessarily say Wisconsin Public Radio is conservatively biased or biased to the right, from time to time we'll complain that, you know, we get enough of those that right-wing viewpoint on the other mainstream media, and, you know, we don't need to hear that Republican on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can balance out the other media by having more left-wing point of views on Wisconsin Public Radio instead of any right-wing views. What do you think of that, Dave?
Well, I think obviously there is some truth to the statement, but I think they're dead wrong in contending that. Your job as a taxpayer-supported medium is not to become an arm of the liberal left. But in saying that, let me also say your job is not to constantly proclaim your balance, which means let the denier say what he wants and let the person who believes this is the case say what she wants and give them both equal time, when we know that either the denier or the other one, all the evidence points to the fact that one side is dead wrong. And then in that case, you hold those people up to the evidence that shows that.
We're talking with Dave Berkman about media bias in general, but focusing in a little bit more on a report from the BBC that was on how the BBC can maintain its impartiality. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock, talking with her guest about the protests that have erupted throughout the Muslim world over the British government's knighting of Salman Rushdie. That's coming up after 9. We're talking with Dave Berkman about media bias and a report by the BBC about the BBC that contained some quotes from senior BBC officials claiming that the BBC does have a liberal bias. However, the BBC is disputing that the report itself comes to that conclusion. Our next caller is Andy in Middleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. One of the things that kind of bugs me, and I wish I could remember exactly who the guest or who the host was yesterday, but somebody was talking to, and it was on WPR or NPR, was talking to somebody from the right that was talking about the electability of people that are Catholic, and one of the things they brought up is, you know, that it's too bad that the Democrats don't have a pro-life candidate, and whoever the host was, nobody challenged that you can be a left-leaning person and still be pro-life, or, well, pro-life, whether it means giving strong strength to equal pay, aftercare, after...
Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I don't, Andy, so in any case, I'm not, do you think that that shows what, a liberal bias of Wisconsin Public Radio?
No, I mean, I just think it doesn't. It doesn't point out some of the the other side of the, you know, if you're going to have a discussion, why don't you have some points on both sides? You know, somebody might have asked the whoever the guest was, well, isn't say prenatal care and aftercare of these children just as important as whether it's a...
Yeah, Andy, we're not talking about that issue in particular, but anyway, I'm going to move on. Dan in White Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Two comments. Number one, with respect to what the BBC study had to say, that the power, whoever's in power gets hit with the bias. That's the nature of the media while someone's in power. Investigative journalism does not investigate what the government is doing that's right. They investigate what they think the government is doing that's wrong.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is, Dave said our obligation here is to find the truth, but sometimes it's a matter of opinion. Even when everybody agrees on what all the facts are, it's still a matter of opinion.
Yeah, but often it isn't, and the facts are clear, and all too often what purports to be objective, unbiased, fair journalism goes out of its way. It's again what I call the McNeil or the Lair. Boy, I'm dating myself. The Lair School of Journalism goes out of its way ever to point that out. That pretty much is what I have to say to that.
All right, thanks, Dan, for the call.
Joy, can I just say something with regard to what the previous caller said? Because I think he does raise some important issues that a lot of people and a minority of those who are liberals who are also consistently pro-life are disturbed about. Look, the fact of the matter is the vast majority of those who are progressive to liberal, who are Democrats, and without exception, all of those running for the Democratic presidential nomination are pro-choice. That is a fact. That there are prominent Democrats who oppose abortion is also a fact. Should there be more attention paid to a Bob Casey, who I mentioned, or to a Harry Reid, who certainly is a very important and influential Democrat and is pro-life, I think the caller has some point. But I think he's also ignoring it's a very small minority of Democrats.
Right. I just wanted it to be linked to our discussion and not just to be about that issue rather than media bias. Tom in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I think Charlie Rose may fit Dave's definition of somebody who challenges a lot, and I wonder what he thinks.
I think Charlie Rose, if he was sitting down and interviewing Jesus, he would pretty much insist that he's the important one at the table.
Uh-oh.
This guy has an ego that, I mean... Can anybody have as many as best friends as he has? I think he is really just has an explosive ego. He is imbued with self-importance. And my bias is I can't get past that whenever I tune him in.
So I guess the answer is no, Dave?
Yeah, I guess it's no.
Yeah. Tom, thanks very much for the call. Paul in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, this bias in the media isn't just a political thing. It would be, imagine Nancy Grace giving the local news, and she's talking about a crime story. She would have that person convicted and in prison, you know, in the first newscast. And no local news service could do anything like that because they use the word alleged. They present, they talk to the defense attorney, they'll talk to the defendant if they're allowed to. They will present both sides. And that is an important thing when it concerns bias. The other thing about religion...
Can I deal with that one? Because that issue about Nancy there raises some very, very important questions. In an effort to show that it can at least in occasions outfox Fox, CNN has now gone with pushing Lou Dobbs, a guy who was absolutely vitriolic, deeply racist in his view about Hispanics. He's the most cited source now on ultra-right wing, on skinhead and racist blogs, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have this guy, what's his name, Webb, who is Michael Savage Light. But most important, they have on Nancy there. And at a time when everybody is applauding, and rightly so, the disbarment of Nifong for the way he for his prosecutorial misconduct, how the devil does CNN put a woman on nightly to comment on cases when, as a prosecutor, she was cited three times for withholding exculpatory evidence, damn near lost her license, and nobody is pointing this out. CNN cannot applaud the disbarment of Nifong and yet keep advancing Nancy as an impartial presenter of the truth about crime. She is basically a hanging prosecutor, and she will go to any extent, and she has a history confirmed by the Georgia Supreme Court.
Paul, you had another point?
Yes, one thing. When it comes to religion and politics, the current Republican Attorney General stood in front of their convention and said they were the party of God. Peg Lautenschlager never even came close to thinking that way, let alone uttering anything so insane. So that's why sometimes when religion and politics comes out, the conservatives get the bad end of it, because they keep saying things like that.
Well, according when they don't get the bad end of it from their base,
yeah,
which is who they're mainly concerned with courting. And the Republican Party has proclaimed itself as the party of faith and family values, which basically means a faith. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Tim and Nina is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about liberalism and conservatism. I think that we get too wrapped up in those as political terms and not perspectives of thought. And I think if we depoliticize what it means to be conservative and what it means to be liberal, and then think about whether or not the media is liberal with a little L and not a capital L, I think it's obvious that it is. Because conservatism is our impulse to be what's right and what's wrong. Gay marriage is wrong because it seems wrong. And liberalism is, let's think about it. Let's look into it. Let's talk about it.
No, it's also, there's nothing wrong with gay marriage. I don't think the right has a monopoly on asserting that it is always right. And the idea of depoliticizing political identities, conservative vis-a-vis liberal, to me is a non sequitur. Of course that's political.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to, when we're talking about whether or not the media, however, is liberal, I think we need to recognize that in terms of liberalism with a lowercase L, it is. I mean, that is the nature of the media. That's why they're, you asked the question earlier, why are so many media people, journalists, liberal?
The nature of
liberalism is questioning and thinking about it and looking into it and not just accepting the status quo and to, you know,
why did
those terrorists attack us and considering those things. That is a liberal way
As a liberal, I agree with you on that 100%. But again, the issue is not whether or not journalists are liberal. It's whether that distorts and affects how they report. And let me repeat what I said earlier about Bill Kristol, who first put this whole business of a liberal media conspiracy into play 20 years ago, and now boasts of that as an untruth, and how proud he is that he was able to get away with that scam.
Thank you, Tim. Sam in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Isn't most of this basically have to do with the right wing is right of center, and so anything center or to the left is going to look liberal to them? So how even balanced media is going to look liberal to someone on the far right, and then the same to hardcore liberals? I mean, I look around and see, Sykes and all these other radio programs, and it's like all the media is extreme conservative to me. But
I think the best example of that is when you have liberal left debates, what do? You put up the wusses as liberals, and you put the hard right wingers on as the conservative. And nothing is a better example of this than the roster of guests on the Lair NewsHour.
Did you have another point, Sam?
It also seems like it's kind of a bad trend that everything's becoming more about conflict and not about resolution anymore. Seems like I think that's the goal of society now, or the goal of politics is just to have more conflict and no solution. I mean, they make they get a lot more like this. I can't believe the Democrats in power are wasting their time on things they know are going to get vetoed rather than trying to do anything.
Well, the argument has been that they're not wasting their spending enough time on things that are going to get vetoed, which makes a state, because those things would make a statement.
Yeah. Let me bring this back to the BBC and the media bias. We got an email from Elmhurst, Illinois. We have the BBC in Chicago as a daily show on our NPR radio station. It is the most even-handed show we have compared to NPR. Goes on to say that the BBC presents things from the White House with the proper perspective, skepticism at unsubstantiated claims for warmongering, instead of the reverence that NPR gives the Bush pronouncements. You want to comment on that, Dave?
Yeah, certainly earlier, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, NPR was guilty of that. And I think the caller is absolutely right. And again, I would cite what I cited at the beginning of this hour, that polls, including one taken as recently as I think 6 months ago, with many thousands of people across the world, consistently show that the BBC is by far the most trusted news medium in the world.
Yeah, and as for this report and the future of impartiality of the BBC, any thoughts as we conclude?
I didn't think it was significant enough to have many thoughts. I found very little substance in it.
Yeah, but at least the reporting that the BBC says it's liberally biased, it looks like that's going to end?
Well, again, they did a really dumb thing in not immediately releasing it when those blog sites... certainly after the Sunday Times and the Sunday Telegraph published their editorials,
yeah,
based on what were those few selected leaks.
Well, Dave, thanks a lot for talking with us again. We'll, I'm sure, talk soon.
Very good.
All right. Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass communication at UW-Milwaukee, and someone we like to go to from time to time to talk about media issues in the news. The issue in the news today, a report issued by the BBC that questions whether the BBC has a liberal bias. The BBC says it does not, that the report does not conclude that, but that it has to work hard and harder in the future to keep the trust of its audience. Thanks to Leo Duran and Cheryl Gasser for producing this hour, and to Leo for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.